midst. And Chris is with us for another week after today. He has got these books. He's actually an author, so if you want your book signed, he'll do that. It costs more money if you want a picture. But the church is going to buy the books. If you want to help pay for the books, they're $15. Just put it in the offering plate. That'll be taken up after his time is over. But we are excited that Chris is here. His wife and his brother are with us to make sure if he steps out of line, I'm sure they'll do something that'll whack him in the head.
Is that point to the point to the watch.
But let's pray for him if we all could. Father, we're grateful for Chris. We're grateful for his wife and family. Ask that you would be with him now as he addresses us and helps us in our journey of faith. Thank you for grace in our lives, and thank you for the work you've given us to do.
Amen.
It's in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just before you go, in light of the future destiny of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I saw this little lanyard, and I got it for you. Now, there's a purpose here.
No doubt.
You're with me, right? We're talking about mission. Last week, who we are. We know deep down you're a Browns fan. No, maybe not. Okay, so, but deep down, you have aspirations. You have goals. The Lord is using you here, using all of you folk on mission. Talked about last week who we are. Now this week, our mission, what we're called to do. I don't know, do you all think that maybe, just maybe, in Mike Tomlin's retirement, maybe he needs a book. Maybe we need to get Mike Tomlin a book, right?
We should probably send that to him.
Yeah, so I think, now, probably a long shot, but maybe Coach Bill?
Coach Bill?
No.
You're going to let him go for that? No?
Quarterback,
yeah!
He's going to try to play
football. Who is old as that other quarterback?
I don't know.
He's going to try to play football with him again. He's going to get his teeth broken again.
Quarterback, where Miles Garrett can tackle him.
Thank you, Bill, for your loyalty to the
cause,
yes. But hey, we're talking about mission. I am so thankful. Do I need the mic or am I okay?
You're good.
Are you recording anything? Okay. If you're not recording, then I can get off track and say things maybe that I wouldn't want on recording.
We'll start recording then.
Good idea. Oh, don't worry, we'll remember. So, hey, here's the central thought today is this church is made for a mission. We talked about it a little bit last week. What are you good at? What do you do? What's the community's need, great need, that this church is called to be and to fulfill? And individually, what is our need? Because we were all, in the words of Rick Warren, made for a mission. It's not about us, right? It's about God's kingdom first. It's about who He wants us to be and what He wants us to do. So the insight today that we want to grab hold of, it, if you have a note sheet, we're going to go through the notes on the, not probably real closely, but you can jot things down. And then we're going to break out, after I've talked a little bit, into a 5-minute talk at overtime at the individual tables. It's not a lecture, so if you have something you'd like to add to or say, please feel free, or a question, to raise your hand, and Bill will try to address that question. All right? But I want to focus today on our purpose. Bethany Friends Church purpose. What are we called to be and to do? We're going to go out of the book a little bit, but the scripture is most important. Does anybody want a book or need a book just to refer to? So our brother David or Vanna will get to. Okay, raise your hand. No? Okay, everybody's got one. So as we look at today in terms of mission, I was thinking this morning, God's love, that He sent His Son. That's the gospel, right? To live perfect life that we could not live because we're sinful. To die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins. This is the good news. And he's risen. He's alive. How about that? Let's try that. Can we do that? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I like it. Okay. That's the good news. That's inspired from above. You know what? That's not your idea. That's God's idea. From eternity past, God's idea was that he would send his son and then touch your lives, the Spirit's initiative, touching your life so that you would respond to him and say, God, what do you want me to do? It's inspired from heaven. Number two, it's involving you. And number three, here's the most important part. Hit this today. You don't do it on your own. You're empowered by the Spirit of God. We'll talk about Peter this week. That the Holy Spirit came and he got inspired, right? He had a few words to share with the crowd. We'll hit that in a minute. But as we begin today, I want to think about how we each experience that revelation. Revelation means something that's revealed. That's pretty profound, right? Revelation revealed to us, in us, through us. And Peter got a hold of that. Don't you love discovery? You know, as I talk about it in the book on pages 21, 22, I love it when my grandchildren discover something new. Look at little Eve. As he was like, he would just get wide-eyed, right? And open his mouth and like, oh, wow. Do we need to become more like that sometimes?
Yes.
Amen. We become too callous, too hardened perhaps. You know, A.W. Tozer, guy's buried right up here in Akron, the great CMA missionary, preacher, prophet, used to say this, I think Christianity, we've lost something. We've lost the of the faith. You know, like, can we really believe this good news is for us? And that he wants to work through us. Wow. Peter got it in Matthew 16. He gets it, doesn't he? Not because it's about him, or he figures it out, but as we look at Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20, it's on page 21 of your book. You got your device, your Bible. Please feel free. I will read it, beginning with verse 13 from the New International Version. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples. Now, there's the context here of religious opposition. Don't you love it when religious people oppose maybe what God's trying to do? Well, that's what was happening here. So he asks his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Study Jesus' questions sometime. That'll get your attention, man. He was pretty direct, pretty abrupt, encouraging, but, you know, he asked some good questions. That's a great study. They replied, who's the they? The crowds, and more specifically the disciples. Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah, as one of the prophets. What about you? Can you put your name in there? What about you? Who do you say I am? Guess who stands up and speaks first?
Peter.
We're not surprised, are we? Good old Pete. Extroverted Pete. Always got an opinion Pete. He says, blessed are, you know, he says, why, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. What does Jesus say? Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, name, rock, Cephas. On this rock I will build my church. Not on Peter himself, but on this testimony. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. There's another sermon. Wow. And whatever you loose on earth, you'll be loose in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anybody he was the Messiah. What's he saying there? Everybody, they're wide-eyed. But he's saying, not yet. The kingdom of God is already, but not yet.
No, not yet.
The theologian tells, right? But now we experience that. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you, Father, that you have a message for each of us, that when we're children of God, when we've accepted you as our Savior, repented, turned to you for redemption, forgiveness, Lord, and empowerment, you make our lives worth something. You want to use us. So, Lord, I thank you for using the people in this room, for this church, family, for Bill,
for Lord, the team of leaders, for your blessing upon your word and this time we have together. Amen. So how many are fans of politics? And we're not going to get into that, but pollsters. You can pretty much find anything you really want to know, the truth. If it's on the internet, it's true, right? Or on Fox, CNN, whatever. It's true, right? I hated pollsters in this last election. I mean, I hated it. Like, okay, this is pretty common sense stuff. I can figure that out. But Jesus has taken a poll. Now, if I took a poll here today, I suspect it'd be a majority. Who do you say he is? Yeah, put your name in there. What would you say? Who is this guy? Jesus. No, let's do it a different way. And you can talk. You ready? Here comes the question. What does the world out there, let's take a poll, what would they say Jesus is all about? Who would they say he is? What would some of the people in your world?
Joy killer.
One at a time, what's that?
Joy killer.
A joy killer, that religion stuff.
Yeah. A myth.
A myth. Some people, wow, that's kind of hard to prove that historically, but yeah, some people do.
Crutch.
A crutch. Your religion just got, it ain't bad for crippled people, you need a crutch, right?
If you believe in him, I respect you, but I don't.
Okay. That's an honest assessment. Anybody else?
Some people think he's a good teacher.
He was a good teacher. Okay.
Or one of many.
One of many, prophets. Yeah, prophets. Do you remember what C.S. Lewis, the great literary genius, said? You can't pin Jesus down in one of those categories. He gave the trilemma. Do you remember those 3 points? Some of you read that. He was either a liar because he was deliberately deceiving people because he said he was the Son of God. He was going to do all this stuff on the cross and be raised again, and he did. Either a liar or he was crazy, a lunatic, right? This guy was on the same level as a guy says he got a poached egg. He would say he's not altogether there. What's the third option? Where's the Lord? And we need to bow the knee before him and say, you're Lord? If you're Lord and you're in charge, I'm not. You're not. True? And that takes a lot of pressure off. Because this world is, there are a lot of stressors in here. We'll talk about that later too. But we're not surprised. Peter speaks up and says, dude, you're the Lord. He didn't get it quite totally, did he? What all the implications of that lordship meant in his life. He just knew that he, as long as he kind of carried on and did his thing, maybe the Lord would kind of hang in with him and that kind of thing. But we move from revelation here in Peter's life to rebuke, don't we? Because right after this, Jesus starts saying, he's turning, making the turning point, setting his face toward where? Jerusalem, the cross. And Peter says, man, no, Jesus, no. I got your back. We got your back. This is a pastor's paraphrase prerogative, okay? Now, we won't desert you. We'll never leave you. What did Jesus say to him? Kind of harsh, wasn't it? Get behind me, devil. Peter, you're not thinking the things of God. You're thinking your own human stuff. You're not thinking the things of the Lord. So Peter needs to get that, to understand that. I don't know if you ever have the regrets when you look back. Yeah, some of us. And I sure wish I would have taken better care of myself. I'm saying that as I'm trying to keep up with my young punk brother here. Going to disc golf up over the hills and stuff, right? I wish I could have spent more time with my family instead of work or a different career. I wish I could have, should have, been more involved in church or not been involved in that moral failure. Oh, I have regrets. I say there on pages something, on second chances, 24, I'm sorry. Our obsession with focusing on the rearview mirror of regret
can have a devastating impact on our psyche and our future. I want to just testify today that Peter had regrets. He said it right, then he got it wrong, and he kept getting it wrong. History is a kind of a testimony to Peter. Kind of, I'm not like those guys, you know, in his pride and his ego. A couple chapters later on, the book on that one. Lord, you know, I'll be with you there in the garden. What did Peter do, like everybody else? Fell asleep. Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll never forsake you. But he tried to cut the guy's ear off, Malchus's ear, and then as Peter looks at him from a distance, as the Lord's going to the cross, or going to the trial, rather, going to the cross eventually, hours before his crucifixion, Peter's around a fire, isn't he? Aren't you one of those people, those believers? Aren't you from Bethany Friends Church?
No.
No, a bunch of losers. I've never known them. No, Jesus. No, he denied him. Trace, right? Three times he denies the Lord. So Peter needs a second chance. Did he get one? Guys, let's get to the gospel, okay? I know I'm depressing you, right? Because when Peter hears from the girls that were around, the ladies that were around the tomb. I love it. Mark's gospel. Mark is the earliest gospel written historically. I forgot to look it up, Bill. What?
You know, 65 AD.
No, it's earlier than that. I think. Maybe 65. But how did Mark get written?
Peter
probably told him the story. This just grips me. Because when Mark relates, the ladies are told by the Lord, said, go tell the disciples, there's a conjunction here, and who?
Peter.
Risen, I want to meet him again. I don't know what your past is like, but Bill and I believe in second chances, right? Especially on the golf course. We call it a mulligan. We need do-overs sometimes, guys, in life, because we blow it. You were telling me back here that, I forget your name, you were watching The Chosen, and,
yeah,
and about Peter and just how real he is and was in that testament. And Peter, put your name in there too. And Chris, and Dave, and Nancy, and you. I'm going to give you a second chance. And then he verifies that, he validates that. Because Peter goes off fishing. Do you remember that story? I'm kind of just cruising through telling the story. John 21. I don't know why Peter went fishing. The Lord wanted to use him, right? He's out fishing and they're catching nothing, right? All of a sudden, they see a guy on shore. He says, hey, throw your nets in over there. Does this sound like a repeat? A do-over? Yes. Okay, they do, and fill the nets up again, right? Then John says, looks at the guy on the shore. He's cooking breakfast for him. He's doing something for them that they probably couldn't have done on their own because they didn't have any fish. It's Jesus! That's what John says. And what's Peter do? He dives all in, man. He's all in. And then there's that graphic moment around a fire. Against, interesting. The same word in the Greek is the fire that Peter denied him in. The same kind of fire that Peter asks, or Jesus asked Peter several questions. What were those questions?
Do you love me?
Do you agape me? Do you even like me as a friend? You know, three times. You know I love you. You know everything, Lord. You know I love you. What's he say then? Peter, feed my sheep. Love my flock. And Peter did. He was used by God as a witness, as a testimony to God's grace. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But here's the end of the story. God wants to use you as well. I don't care what you've done. I need to know what you've done.
You don't know what I've done. My brother does, but he was in on a lot of it.
How much of it was he in there?
Every bit of it.
We'll talk after. But you know, the point is, God gave this guy a fresh start. He wants to give all of us a fresh start to be used of his kingdom. How does he do that? You know, Warren has a little acronym called SHAPE. You've probably heard that before, right? He wants to use us. He used Peter according to his shape. The S in the acronym, the SHAPE, is the spiritual gifts that we have. Spiritual gifts. You have spiritual gifts. Everybody here. If you're a believer, you should qualify that in Christ. If you've confessed him as Savior, living out what his purpose is for your life, you have spiritual gifts. We talked about that last week a little bit, right? We can't do it on our own. Supernatural mission requires supernatural empowerment and endowment. Number two is heart passion. What do you love? What are you excited about? Helping people out that are carrying an unplanned pregnancy? Some people that are ministering to family. I have a passion for family, right? Praying for you and that. People that are hurting that need help with their kid that's very, very ill, very sick. They need some financial. You know, in your job, your workplace, where you hang out, where you have fun, there are people there that they're looking at you. They're watching you. What do we get excited about? What revs our engine? And then the P is personality. We're all different, thank God. If we were all the same, it'd be a lot different, you know. Bill's wife could help you out with your temperament, right? The Myers-Briggs or whatever kind of instrument that would help us understand how we're wired psychologically, you know. God wants to use that. He wants to use outgoing people like me and inward people like my wife. Detail people, thank God she got the budget done, and I said, oh yeah, that looks great. Because my personality isn't wired to be a detail person. Big picture, right? Anyway, personality. God uses all his children to address all those needs. And then experience. Oh, did I miss some? P.
A.
Abilities. Thank you.
Spelling, big picture.
Spelling was never my strength either. Abilities. You know, what do you do well? Are you good at handiwork? Are you good at whatever? And then the E is experiences. God never wastes an experience. Painful ones where we have to kind of say, God, I don't get this. I don't understand it. I don't like it. Nobody hears that. Never been there, right? I'm the only one. Wish my grandchild was back. But, you know, God uses even those pains, those experiences. 2 Corinthians 1, with the comfort that we receive, we can comfort others. Good psychological principle, right? We can encourage others, and God helps that to happen through our experiences. If you used to be a boozer, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are addicts that need somebody like you to come alongside, be a mentor, be a sponsor, something like that. So I'm done with this part. What I want you to do is look at your sheets, okay? And we're talking about mission today, our mission, the church's mission. On the TIO after one, Revelation Insight, TIO. Here's what I want you to do around your table for the next 5 minutes or so. First of all, just maybe talk about, hey, this is what stood out to me today from the scripture, the Bible, okay? And then why is it important for us to have a vision of who Jesus is and what he wants to do through us? What are some of the should haves? And if you get that far, that's great. We're not going to be legalistic. But I want you to pay close attention to the leader of your table, who is the person who lives the furthest from this building. Okay? The person who lives the furthest from this building is the table leader. If you want to combine tables, feel free to do that too. Okay? You read the question. Read the question. Make sure everybody talks about it. Confidential. No sermons. 5 minutes. Ready, set, go.
I mean, you live in Medina, right?
Some of you live all the same place. You guys want to join here?
I was it last week.
I was here last week.
I was here last
Do you think that sometimes we operate apart from God's
mission? So what? 38, we're going to hit some scripture passages as well. We talk about some essentials of the mission. First of all, there's waiting on the Spirit of God. How many of you like to wait? Anybody? Wait in the line at the store, right?
Driving
My brother
here.
Had a meltdown.
Driving here with that big oversized thing.
Oh, yeah. I had to wait to get around
about
that.
Me. It's you, buddy.
I'm confessing.
I'm waiting on the Browns.
Just have prayer right now. So that's going to be a while. Well, none of us like to wait. We live in an instant gratification society, right? Microwaves, you know, computers. That's too slow. The computer's too slow. Need more power, more energy, whatever, you know. But I felt like I'm in a holding pattern at times. What is going on, Lord? In Luke's report of the early church, also known as Acts, the book of Acts, he talks about how the disciples were called to wait. Wait for what? Their mission. Their witness. Acts 1:8, you will be what? My witnesses. Judea, Samaria, all around, you know. The whole world starts right here, in your family, this church, this community, beyond that, witnesses. But they had to wait. Why did they have to wait? On the Holy Spirit, absolutely. Luke establishes that in chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. After his suffering, it's on pages 30, 31, or in the Bible, Acts 1, 3 through 7. He presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, I like they do so much around eating, don't you? He gave them this command, do not leave, excuse me, Jerusalem, but wait, oh, there's that word, for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. Say, remember all this, guys. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around and asked, this is so cool. Are we there yet? I remember that. When are we going to get there? When is Jesus coming back to establish his kingdom? What did Jesus say to them? It's above your pay grade. You don't need to know that. You don't need to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. You're just called to be witnesses. When it happens, baby, you'll know it. And when it happened, Peter knew it, right? Peter understood what the mission was. Don't ask me how, I don't know. But he got up and he saw the opportunity. And the man preached a message. He was witness, even though he was probably like, whoa, I got to preach this. I'm not sure what the outcome is going to be, but I'm going to give it a historical overview and bring it down where the nitty-gritty tire hits the road, all that stuff. Page 34, beginning with Peter's first sermon in Acts chapter 2, 22, verse 22. Fellow Israelites, Peter says, listen to this. I like how he identifies with that, first of all. We're in this together. This is for all of us. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. They saw it. One person said historically. Was he a myth? No. They saw this. Hundreds of thousands of people saw him do those things. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Ooh, there's the punchline, right? Stick it in there and twist it. But there's a second chance again. God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. So what do they need to do? Repent, be baptized for forgiveness of sins. That's the gospel, again, the good news. That's the testimony that Luke lays out very detailed, historically. He documents it. So that continues, ladies and gentlemen, through us today. We continue to bear witness to resurrection power through His Spirit. You know, but I don't have the gift of evangelism. That's one of the spiritual gifts that we talked about. Congratulations. I don't either. I don't have the gift of evangelism. But my role as a believer is to be a witness. What does a witness do? He says what he's experienced, what he's seen, what he's called to deliver. You know, this is what I saw happen. My personal account. Now, what are some of the fears? This is a talkback point that we might have of being a witness for Christ. That is sharing the good news with somebody. You know, sharing maybe a person who's not yet a believer. God's working on them, perhaps. You're feeling prompted. What are some of the fears that people have about sharing their faith?
Their own insecurity.
I'm a little intimidated by that, yeah.
Rejection.
Rejection. What if they
don't believe
or reject me?
Slander.
Any personal people pleasers out there other than me and my brother?
Grudges.
Say it again?
Grudges.
Grudges. They won't like me anymore. What are some of the fears we might have?
Don't have enough knowledge.
I don't know. You think Peter was a scholar? That's a good one. Sometimes I've said, even in the presence of Dr. Quigley, I've said, no, I don't know. I have to look at that and get back to that person for that. You know, I'm not sure I know the answer. It's okay. Those are good. Any others?
Slander.
Okay. How about this one? They won't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear about that. You'd be surprised. Wouldn't we be surprised sometimes? Mm-hmm. About people maybe having a little more interest than we might. So what do we do as a witness then? I just, you know, I jotted down several things here. These are extra. The delivery system for Peter was, he preached it, he proclaimed it. And what happened? Did he get results? I think Peter might have been gifted in evangelism. A few thousand people came to faith. Oh, that's me. Jesus went to the cross because of me, for my sin. Not just the Jews he's pointing the finger at, it's all of us, right? What if Peter would have given that message the day before, that same group? I don't know, but I don't think he would have gotten it. Without the Spirit's empowerment, I think the results would have been a little different, right? That was validation we talked about in this table over here. When we've got a spiritual gift, it works. You get results. Okay, so as we seek out and discover what God's gifting us with, we get results. But it's not just, you know, being an evangelist. It's everyday world. Wednesday night, we share this material in one of our Bible study groups, the Jackson Friends. And one lady just said, yeah, you know what? I was at Spectrum the other day. My phone quit. Don't you just love that? Back to patience. Your phone zaps out. I'm getting a new phone. And there was a lady there at Spectrum. I don't even remember her name. But she was all in a tizzy, worked up. And I was able to pray with her. That's being a witness. Wow. Being sensitive to the situation, person's feelings, their needs, what's going on, and responding to that. It's good to know the story, your story, and that's more important. What is your testimony? You know what? Is it okay just to share what Jesus did for me? This is what happened to me. Like I was telling Dave, I was a low life, kind of only concerned about Chris Jackson and what got him high and got him by. And God got my attention through somebody who just loved me. A guy named Jim Branningham. Maybe some of you know him. In the church.
He was my minister growing up.
What a guy, huh?
Allen Creek Friends Church.
Yep. The same home church. That's cool. I didn't know that. Jim loved people, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Even stray dogs like me.
You know, he got up one Sunday and he said he had a head injury when he was young.
Yep.
And the doctors told his father that he would probably be a vegetable. Now, Jim did not have a good memory. He had to write everything down or he would forget it. But he led a lot of people to Christ. I mean... Yeah.
Or he'd repeat the same joke 8 times when you're around him so that he'd get it, so that he'd remember it. But Jim and his beautiful wife, Betty,
mm-hmm.
just love people, loving on people. And then we share our story. And this is what happened to me. He saw that I could be useful. That stood out to me. Back to the prior chapter. God wants to use your life, Chris. Took me to Malone College. I didn't plan to give my testimony, but I guess I'm doing that. After I committed my life back to the Lord and said, I want to serve you somehow, Lord. I don't know how. And we don't always have all the answers when we begin that journey, do we? You don't have to. Led me to this beautiful lady. Got married. We had a passion for ministry together, and we've been doing it for, what, has it been 20 years yet?
Times two.
40, 50 years, something like that. But, you know, tell your story. You know, in the scripture, you see your story in 3 parts. This is what I was. This is what happened. How I met Jesus. And this has been what's different. You know what? And best of all, I know I have assurance of eternal life. Because it's not based upon my works. It's based upon, not based upon who I am, but who Jesus is.
Amen.
And I am motivated out of gratitude to serve him because I have eternal life. So, witnessing is not about us, it's about the Lord. And then final point today, we're going into OT, just like last night, right, bro? No overtime here. But we got to hit generosity because if we don't take an offering, it's likely that Bill will not pay me. It was supposed to be a joke. I don't know. It didn't go very well.
Kind of like a stone.
How else did the early church do it? How do you do it? You got a heart for people. I can see that. I sense it. Generosity. Just in everyday life. I don't want to go through and read the whole scripture, but you got James and John going to the temple. They're going to feed their spirit in prayer, right? And they see a dude there sitting by the gate, beautiful. Remember that? What's he? What do you do when you see somebody standing by the road? You go, oh, don't make eye contact. To make eye contact, you might have to do something. But John had nothing out of that, right? He looks at the guy, and the guy's crying out for alms. He says, silver and gold have I none, but what? In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. The guy pops up, he's healed. The language is medical language in the scripture, that his joints go back together. He was crippled from birth. No, it's probably not a politically correct word, right? But he was not able to walk from birth. He was healed and began praising God. Got the guys in trouble, right? For giving Jesus the credit for the healing. One of the old popes later in, I forget which century, but said, you know, hey, church can't do that anymore after the church getting kind of big and growing. Church can't say we don't have silver and gold anymore. We got it. Here's the response. But neither can we say, take up your bed and walk. We don't want to lose the power. And as we think about in our own lives the need for this kind of attunement, generosity, a giving spirit. What do we have to offer? Particularly in later years. This kind of little theme throughout the book, isn't it? In our later years, you ever get nervous about, oh gosh, scarcity? I know we're looking at our budget
just recently, and you know, we can't be stingy. You know, I wanted to cut back on the grandparent and grandkids' gifts. But why? It's all gonna burn. We need to spend it, right? We might think, I don't have that money to give to the church. You don't have the money not to give to the church. Limited cash flow, circumstances, scarcity complex. Sticker on your camper that says, I'm spending my kids' inheritance. Shame on me. What's more important? You know, I showed Bill, I got a card that somebody got me on retirement. Do you have a card with you? I gave it to him. It's a gold case that says retired on it. And on the inside, it doesn't give a phone number or an email. And it says, I'm retired. Don't bother me. Don't call me. That's not the gospel. That's not Jesus, is it? Jesus says, hey, all you got, I just read this last week too. It's better to offer that up, sacrifice that, and gain here so that you can, not gain here so you can gain in eternity. Right? So that's the message today. What's the mission? The mission involves using our time, our treasures, our talents, not just our money. That's what we're to be generous with. That's what God will use. And I know He's using you to that end. Amen? Bill, shall we do a song?
We shall.
Wrap up? Okay.
Or how about you mean right now?
Yeah, like right now. Do I have to bring the mic back to you?
No, we... Why don't you pray for the offering?
I'm going...
I thought we forgot about the offering.
Oh, no.
We don't forget that. It's not one of the things. We forget a lot. That's not one of the guys.
Jesus, we reach out. We preach. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your generosity to us. For you indeed gave it all on the cross. Lord, you give us the assurance of eternal life, the joy of being useful in this life. And Lord God, you've given us the gift of family, the gift of church community, the gift of mission. So Lord, we pray for wisdom as we think about who we are as a church, as individuals. And Lord, next week as we think about specifically how to engage, Lord, specifically how do we navigate and do mission together. Thank you for this time, for your people, for people here maybe today that need to respond to you right now, in Jesus' name. I pray for them that they might respond and come and talk to us. Lord God, we want to give you the glory, right? All God's people and children said.
Amen.
Spirit. And all of God's people together said.
Amen. Amen.
Enjoy your day.